I'm Toby Fox from 1.5 million New Homes, the local government challenge sponsored by Redloft and Waites. We're investigating the role of local councils in the government's national ambition to deliver 1.5 million new homes. In this episode, we've come to 12 Thames Road to understand the ingredients for the successful delivery of new homes. And we're going to do that by talking to Barry Coughlan, who is the head of statutory planning and building control, and Matt Seaton, who's the senior development manager, and they're both at BeFirst, the council's wholly owned development company. Matt, Barry, tell us where we are and what you're delivering here.
Thanks. Thanks for coming down here. So here we're at 12 Thames Road, which is our first co-location scheme in the borough, delivered by BeFirst, LBBD and McLaren.
LBBD, that's London Borough.
Barking Dagenham, yep. So co-location, what we've got is industrial units on the ground floor and first floor, and then stacked above that is resi. So we've got 18 industrial units and 156 flats.
Okay. So what is it about that you consider to be successful? Why do you want to show this off?
Yeah, so this is our exemplar scheme for Thames Road. And the plan for Thames Road is that mix of residential and industrial side by side and on top of each other. It's termed at the moment the factory district, and that is going to be a blend from the east side, which is a lot of residential and schools, that side, and then it will blend as you go across Thames Road into more industrial schemes. This sort of sits in the middle and is that perfect example of them working side by side, living side by side together. And that is the idea for the borough, really. You know, we don't want to just create residential units. We don't want it to be a dormitory borough. It's got to be somewhere where people live and work. And, you know, we're redeveloping industrial sites. This is, you know, a brownfield site, but we don't want to just move those businesses out of the borough. They're good employers. They service the borough. Really proud history that we want to keep. So it's not just forcing them out. It's also giving them a place to move back into.
Fantastic. Okay, thanks very much. Barry, are there any other kind of aspects of the success of this scheme that you want to draw our attention to?
Yeah, I think one of the main things for me is the fact that it acts as a catalyst, basically. Yeah. I mean, land is scarce in this city. Developing on industrial land is something that, you know, the London Plan encourages when it's in a LSIS, a locally significant industrial site. So having to de-designate land or be creative in the way that you designate land within your local plan in order to enable the delivery of housing is a really important thing. And it takes a degree of bravery, I think. I think this is what makes this scheme stand out. So we have a vision for this area, 3,500 homes, 40,000 square metres of industrial space. That's combining a mix of industrial land that's been de-designated from strategic industrial land to LSIS, locally significant industrial land, de-designating some of it for residential, and then intensifying the adjacent local industrial land, the strategic industrial land, which is
so just you're not losing
Thames
some of that really.
So yeah,
important.
The idea being that you don't really lose any industrial land because you're reproviding it through co-location, like a scheme like this.
Yeah.
But also you're intensifying on the bits of the industrial estate that are slightly to the side and kind of away from some of the residential. So that's the vision for the area.
Yeah.
We have a planning document which is hopefully going to be adopted in May of this year, which sets out that vision, gives a kind of a spatial plan for the area, covers things like how social infrastructure will be provided. But this scheme stands as effectively the kind of the kickoff for the area. And it meant that BeFirst, working with Barking and Dagenham, have kind of, I suppose, stuck our necks out on this because we've developed a scheme which is co-location. There's not many of them in the city. There's a few that are kind of coming through, but not really that many that are occupied. So it's kind of taking a bit of a risk, I suppose, sticking our neck out. But delivering a scheme which I think is high quality and delivering a scheme which is 100% affordable as well. So not only are we delivering something that is, you know, a new model that's going to kickstart development in the area, but it's also providing homes for residents and kind of meeting that need.
And what do you mean by affordable?
So the scheme is 100% affordable. 49% is London affordable rent and 51% is affordable rent. So that's 80% of market rents.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. And the obvious question is, you know, the reason that this hasn't been done very often before is putting people's homes next to or on top of industrial uses. I mean, you know, that's questionable, right? It's dirty, it's noisy, it's smelly. Why would people want to live next to industrial uses? So how have you managed that?
Yeah, well, it's a combination of clever design, the specifications of the units, how they're insulated against for sound, but also, you know, how the schemes are managed, the operational side of it. I think it's worth pointing out that the uses themselves will be light industrial, so they won't have the same kind of impacts as maybe a more heavy industrial use would
what
have.
What sort of things is light industrial?
It could be things like makerspaces. It could be food companies. It could be some distribution. It depends on the nature of the occupants. A lot of the units you'll see are not enormous in size, so it's really catering to those smaller businesses in the area. But obviously we've kind of done some market testing in the area. There's a pre-existing cash and carry on the site, which is moving back in. So it's those kind of, you know, small business owners in the area, but also appealing to kind of, yeah, emerging SMEs.
Yeah, okay. Matt, these aren't occupied yet. So what's the time scale from, you know, the beginning of the project to actually getting people in, and when are you occupying?
Yeah, good question. So worth noting that it's not completed yet. We've not handed over. That's due in the next couple of weeks. In terms of residential occupancy or industrial occupancy.
Both. Yeah.
So industrial occupancy, it's a slow process. We've got a number of industrial schemes in the area. We've got Industria, which is our first stacked industrial scheme, which we're really proud of. But take up is slow, and I think that is a response to the market. I think this is going to be more attractive. It's a sort of cheaper alternative, and we're confident that's going to do well. And we're very efficient in catering to the needs of the local businesses who want sort of quick turnaround. So that can be, you know, a month or so from completion.
Barry, what was the role of the council and its development company, Be First, in securing the success of this scheme?
Yeah, well, from a plan-making point of view, obviously we had a vision for the area. We had an emerging local plan. We had a draft master plan as well. So there was a planning framework in place before the planning permission was submitted. Be First submitted the planning permission on behalf of working on behalf of Lunenburg, Barking, Dagenham. It was 2019 when it was submitted, 2020 when it was granted. Work started soon after. The development arm of Be First, you know, project managed the work, you know, worked in collaboration with McLaren to deliver the scheme. And I've worked to kind of ensure the delivery of the scheme through getting grant funding through the GLA and the sources. So it was all about kind of that, you know, kind of driving the delivery forward through the use of the development arm of Be First, but also, you know, the statutory side of Be First, which is, you know, getting the planning permission in place, a smooth transition through the planning process, but also having that planning framework through the policy documents that underpin the scheme.
So why do you need a development company for that? What is it about having a separate development company that makes all of that easier or more effective or what?
Yeah, well, I think one of the unique selling points of Be First is that we have our development arm and the statutory services all under one roof. So it means that the planning process itself can be quite streamlined. It means that there is a reduction in planning risk because we have a more collaborative approach to our schemes. Obviously, it still goes through the same rigors that any planning application would, but it means that you do get those synergies between the two teams working alongside each other. And we have a great track record for delivering schemes. We're one of the biggest house builders in the city. Also, in terms of our planning team, we've got the fastest we've been first ranked for the last 3 years on time decisions for majors and non-majors. So we've got a highly efficient planning team, very responsive. So all of these things put together, it's a kind of like a well-oiled machine that you've got both parts of the kind of development side working in tandem.
And how would you answer the challenge that having the statutory services and the development arm in the same room just means that you're not given the same scrutiny over planning as another application might have?
Yeah, well, what I would say is that local authorities all over the country submit planning applications to themselves by, you know, companies either they set up or just by themselves. They submit planning applications themselves. So the idea that there is any kind of conflict, you know, that exists all over the place. It's all about having those ethical walls that exist within the organization. But, you know, it's also about the professional integrity of the planners involved. So it's, you know, we treat every same scheme the exact same as we would if it was a private developer. But it just means that when we're working on a Be First scheme, there's that kind of that knowledge of what's happening, that ability to kind of have, you know, conversations very easily and quickly with planning officers, and that kind of more collaborative approach that you would get through working closely together and kind of seeing the objective on the other side of it.
So at the moment we're in unit 9 of Crossness Yard, and this is, you know, new industrial specification, and this white wall behind us is that insulated sound space between your industrial and residential. So on the other side of this wall we've got flats. There's probably going to be reflections in rent for being on the first floor, but we're confident for a lot of our local businesses and makerspace, that's still going to suit their needs. and again, intensifies that industrial space on the same square footage.
And when we say makerspace, who's making what?
Small creative industries. What we're seeing a lot of is startups, maybe somebody moving out from their garage and starting their new business, creating a bit of crafts. We get what we call like eBay sellers who are buying online and distributing. See a lot of businesses there, and you know, it's a great start, and this is offers that space for them. Appreciate there is going to be that concern about noise. Do people want to live next to an industrial unit? And we think, you know, that is going to be a challenge, and there's going to be a change in people's perceptions. But when we can prove that it is workable, you know, people live above shops and restaurants already. There's examples of student accommodation above commercial spaces. So it has been proven, and is part of, as Barry mentioned earlier, the London plan, which says about co-location.
Yeah, and this is a really important point, isn't it? Because you can't just build a load of houses without thinking about jobs for the people who are going to live in those houses as a local authority. So this is part of that kind of combination, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's exactly combining the two. I think there is going to be an element of placemaking of the tenants we pick and who is going to be suitable. Is heavy industrial mechanical going to be suitable, or is that going to be on another site in the borough? As long as we can still retain them, but creating something that suits the needs of the residents as well as the businesses.
So Barry, this is also part or highlighting the importance of spatial planning when you're thinking about delivering homes at scale.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in terms of South Barking alone, there's capacity for up to 50,000 new homes. It's a huge amount of placemaking, huge amount of home building, but you can't have that without economic regeneration in tandem. So that's why this particular site and the area we're in Thames Road is so important for the council's vision for the area, because it's about delivering those homes that we need, but also the jobs that are so essential to kind of building communities, and especially new communities with so many new people coming. I think it's kind of worth pointing out that we're sort of sandwiched between two areas of residential development. Yeah. So the industrial estate, while, you know, it's kind of a novel thing having co-location there, it kind of creates a link between those two areas. So Barking Riverside just to our south, and then residential just north of Thames Road, and then Barking Town Centre further to the north.
And what do you have to take into account in terms of the infrastructure that you need to have in place to deal with incoming residents when all you've had in the past has been small businesses and industrial usage?
Yeah, it's absolutely crucial. And that's why a plan-led approach to this kind of redevelopment is really important. So the SPD that we're bringing through to adoption in May of this year includes, you know, lots about social infrastructure, you know, allocate sites for new schools, allocate some improvements to healthcare, also fundamentally the public realm and connectivity through the site. So connecting those schemes that I talked about, Barking Riverside to the north, the existing community, or to the south and the existing community to the north, creating new open spaces, creating the kind of public realm that people want to, you know, raise their kids in, even in a kind of an area that has the challenges of co-location. So I think the social infrastructure, but also the kind of physical infrastructure that support redevelopment are really integral to the vision. And it's about development helping to facilitate the delivery of that infrastructure through planning obligations, through contributions.
We've had viewers asking about the energy uses of new development and preparing for all the new residential uses and the industrial uses that are coming to new places. Is the energy infrastructure up to that? What special measures have you had to take, if any?
Yeah, well, we're kind of lucky in a way that we don't have the kind of challenges that parts of London face in terms of energy provision. So the area is kind of well placed in terms of access to energy. In terms of sustainability and access to renewable energy sources, The vision for Thames Road is to connect to Beckton sewage works and some of the energy creation there, and also just to have a district heating network for the area. So, you know, the sustainability credentials of this scheme and the wider opportunity area are really good, you know, kind of trying to meet the best we can in terms of BREEAM and other kind of standards for the building.
So that wraps up another episode of 1.5 Million New Homes, the Local Government Challenge, sponsored by Redloft and Waites. We're going to be back in a few days with another episode, and we look forward to seeing you then. In the meantime, if you like what you've seen, please do click like or subscribe. It really helps us. Thank you very much for watching.